In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And Psalm 145. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. Isaiah chapter 55 contains some of the most exalted passages in the Old Testament. It begins with an invitation to the feast of the Messiah, where the poor shall enjoy water and wine and the true bread of life. Listen, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. It ends with a promise of peace and joy and a new creation where the curse of the thorn is reversed and the myrtle tree replaces the briar. It fits perfectly with the promise of the coming kingdom in Psalm 145. We need to place Isaiah 55 and Psalm 145 in context as hymns celebrating the end of exile in Babylon and a new beginning full of promise in the homeland. It begins in the politics of Israel's humiliation and Israel's desire for a rightful place in the world order. It ends in a faith in the possibility of a different kind of world and a new creation. Faith is realized in the terrible crucible of the struggle for power. The hope of peace grows in the soil of internecine politics. You need to remember first that this hymn in Isaiah is the sublime conclusion to what is known as the Book of Comfort, beginning with the announcement in Isaiah chapter 40, comfort ye, my people. This is Isaiah's annunciation, anticipating Luke's annunciation, both of them proclaiming the advent of a new order of the world, Novus Ordo Seclorum. Then we have to remember that this Book of Comfort cradles the songs of the suffering servant who shall redeem his people. I am he that comforteth. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Behold my servant. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The journey to the comfort of faith is realized by a passage through suffering, rejection, and death. Salvation costs everything. Immediately we recollect that Jesus identified himself in the suffering servant, despised and rejected. And immediately we see why our New Testament lesson today is found in the opening of Luke's Gospel. Here in Luke's Gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom comes to pass, and the Lord is present with his people. in the form of a servant. And in chapter 3, Luke himself makes the connection. As it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. This promise of a time when the frustrations of the human condition, symbolized by valley and mountain, are overcome and abolished, is the same promise made about the reversal of the curse of the thorn and the replacement of the briar by the myrtle tree. We are talking about transformation and transfiguration, about the messianic banquet to which all are invited, about the coming kingdom and the new creation, and about the suffering servant. These are the great themes of both testaments: transformation and deformation, profound hope and profound frustration, hope of restoration and experience of ruination. The messianic banquet brings both together at the heart of Christianity, because when we meet together to share the elements of water, wine and bread, we both recollect the broken body of the suffering servant, and we celebrate the hope of a restoration where the peoples of the earth are led forth in peace and the malign curse is reversed by benediction. The New Testament in Luke and the other gospel writers is about signs of the kingdom, potent anticipations of a new creation where the blind see and the lame leap as an heart. But we know from our everyday and intimate experience that this is faith, not sight, vision, not reality. In our intimate experience of our own lives and those we care about, we are aware of the depth of human frustration. Remember Shakespeare on the deteriorations of age in King Lear. I am a very foolish, fond old man, 80 and upward, and to deal plainly, I fear I am not in my perfect mind. Last week, three of us visited a care home where a friend was being looked after who had had a disabling stroke. She had been a remarkably talented singer, and I recollected accompanying her from time to time, but especially in a public concert where she displayed consummate art in performing Bax's song called The White Peace. The resplendent colours of autumn were all around us, but she was now profoundly disabled, just able to respond with the beginning of a sentence before meaning dribbled away, or perhaps we could not catch it. We live in a world between the vision of restoration and the experience of ruination. That is what Christianity is about, and what art is about. Christianity and art both code the hope and the frustration. We live with hope and experience frustration. Whether we think of art as reviewing the world in verbal images, or in musical sounds, or in paint, or in the marvellous choreography of liturgy, we live and move between deranged chaos and a new order of the world. There is a winter's journey into loss, and there is the journey of faith to restoration. There is the sound of lamentation as Zion mourns all the sorrows that have befallen her, and there is the new song that heralds a different advent. Perhaps it is worth remembering that traditionally Luke is celebrated as the artist who portrays the advent of the Saviour, for example in the great picture of Roger van der Weyden. Luke, in his Gospel, paints a picture of what the world might look like, but the centerpiece of the picture is the face of a suffering servant and a crucified Saviour. The extremes of human experience come together. God grant we come to the one through the other. Let us pray. Come, my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feast, my strength, such a light as shows a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. Amen. Amen.